This is CliffCentral.com.
So, it's the Futurology Show on CliffCentral.com. Brett Lindsay, the digital philosopher, here for the last time, unfortunately, on the Futurology Show, and I have Mr. Brett Sinclair with me.
Hello, Brett. How are you doing?
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are excited, we're amped, and we're sad because Michael Cowan is sobbing in the corner, Mike.
I am. I've had to. Are my knobs all right this week?
Yeah. You seem to be good.
And I'm not sobbing because my knobs are not all right.
Well, I got a call from your wife, and she kind of said maybe your knob isn't.
Yeah, well, listen, just let's not bring up the toilet seat conversation.
So,
is this your back pocket thing? Bring up the toilet seat every time I go after your knob.
But you're talking about my wife again, bro. but to be honest, I'm sad because this is our last show.
Did you just call his wife a knob?
I'm also going to miss the fact that the next time we interact is not going to be a shootout. I don't have a mute button for the two of you. So, once again, it's our last show at the Futurology Show, and it's been an amazing journey with you guys. It's been really cool the last year that we've done, the almost 60 even more episodes we've done.
I'm just glad you were here for our last show.
Yeah.
I
was on time.
Exactly. I mean, it's quite funny, you know, how this all started. Brett never arrived that day, and you threw me under the bus.
You were guests.
That's awesome. Yeah.
We were guests. And then
all of a sudden you were hosts.
No, but the funniest thing is Dory says, no, we're not going to panic until 5 minutes past 12. At 4 minutes past 12, she's like, you guys are the show.
No, that's
like,
great.
What do you mean? We're the show. We're the guests.
Some change happens instantly.
It does.
Some takes a lot longer.
Yes.
And I think that's probably a good theme for the year, right?
Absolutely.
It's time for the change to happen now. I think we've been waiting as a nation and continent for change to happen over years. 2018 feels like it's time for that change to happen now.
Well,
Not just now.
Now.
Then.
Now.
Why do we keep doing this?
I don't know.
It does have to happen. And if it hasn't already happened, it's going to happen soon.
It is.
So,
but let's talk of change. What has been going back? Because Brett's playing with my knobs here. I do know I am live, but I can hear myself again.
When we say knob, it's a volume control. In case you've just joined us, this isn't the sex talk in Cliff Central. This is the Futurology Show in Cliff Central with Brett Lindsay, the digital philosopher, social renegade, digital African disruptor.
African disruptor, is it?
What are you these days?
These days I don't feel I'm making enough of a disruption.
Okay.
So this year is going to be my year of doing even more disruption.
Oh, okay, cool.
And that might just be disrupting the sound waves. It might just be disrupting people's spaces.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be disrupting people's social channels.
No,
cool.
I think that makes sense.
How have you changed in the last year? Before we start talking about the show and the world and everything, how have you changed?
Well, you know, I used to feel quite insecure and bad about myself.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But
I'm going to start charging for the session just now.
No, exactly. Sorry.
But, yeah, Mike, the social impact solutionist is how you started, I think, in the original.
Yeah.
It's still important.
No, it's still very important. In fact, it's probably more important than ever before. And I think you're right, though. This is the year of change because I do say it every year, but I think, you know, we spoke to Professor Steve Keen, who said the financial collapse is coming again. When exactly, I don't know.
Did he not say it was 2 years from now, right?
2 years. So look,
so
we
countdown's on.
The countdown is on, and I think the idea of change is becoming probably a little bit realistic for many people this year, and I think the impact of change will come through. So,
yeah, for sure.
So how have I changed personally? I don't know. All I know is I've actually loved doing the show.
It has been absolutely fantastic.
I mean, I love getting into studio. I love chatting to you guys about where the future of technology is going, how it impacts on human beings, and
I get a front row seat to watching you two bicker about each other's wives and your chess radio and other things.
Listen, Brett, we haven't spoken about Brett's wife yet.
Well, I was about to say.
Careful, you haven't met her yet.
What I love.
You might only meet her once.
I think it's already been done. That's it. It's been called.
Yeah, it's been called.
It's by design. It's
my favorite part of the show is that Brett started asking questions.
Yes, absolutely.
He's evolved from a philosopher
to
he's really posing questions. I think it takes our guests by surprise sometimes.
I've run out of answers. I think I've had to start asking questions.
Well, as long as you can still ask a question, you're all right. You'll find an answer then. So,
that's good.
So what's the favorite part of your year, Brett?
This year or last year?
The last year, yeah.
The last year of Futurology.
Yeah, because we've done over 50 shows.
This one is a pretty good one, to be honest. I mean, not just because it's the last one and it's ending, but because it's...
We've got
something to look back on. It's always nice to go and say, like, you look back and you'll be like, there's been an impact in everything that we did and the thing and the conversations that were started and the people we met. And I think we didn't know what it would be going into it. But looking back, it's more than met my expectations. It's exceeded it. It's done well. So, and if that's something to go with as an analog for change, just do it. You'll be surprised what you can achieve when you get it done.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think, I've just, everything from beginning to end has been amazing. The way we've not only done a show, but have been a part of the sort of podcast revolution. This new medium of communication.
Yeah.
Because we've changed it as much as it's changed us as well. Mm. I mean, putting it into new places, meeting new people, getting new topics of conversation, and meeting
some
a new
great
audience.
Thinkers, right?
Yeah,
great,
it was really cool.
But that's incredible thing. Audiences.
Singularity still blows my mind. I think that was probably a good one. That was top.
It was top.
It was a good focus session. We got to meet a lot of great people, a lot of important discussions. I think we had, and looking forward to so many more.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
it's going to be incredible
because it's not the end.
It's not the end. And I guess I think it's important for us to let our guests know that
Where's our guest?
Our audience. You see, the audience is so close to me. I feel like you're all guests.
Yeah,
you're
sitting
here in the room.
There's a welcome mat on our podcast.
Love that. That's awesome.
That's very cool.
But this is more of a pause. We want to start rethinking how we package up content, how we deliver content. We love Cliff Central. The guys and the team here are awesome. But this is the year where we need to start focusing and making sure that we're delivering the right stuff.
Absolutely.
And we are making a change in society.
For sure.
So we learned a lot last year and we're putting it in a slight pause. But expect some more. Trying different things. We're doing
Absolutely.
Video riffs at the moment for WTF. So keep following us there. We're not stopping doing the podcasting.
And we're not stopping the digital change and the talking of it and the doing of it.
No.
That's important.
We can't stop the digital change.
No, you can't stop it. But we're not going to stop talking about it either.
No, hopefully
we can do something about it as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's important.
And one focus for us at Big Brave as well is looking for moments and creating experiences that matter. And, creating events and courses like you guys are doing with hashtag Think Digital.
I mean, dude, that was accidental.
No, but it's...
Again, right?
But it was meant to happen. You know what I mean? There was a need, and the need found you sometimes, which is good. So you guys were just receptive to it. And in answer to needs, some of the best solutions are always going to be found. If you're just trying to do something because you think it's a good idea, test it, validate it, make sure it's going to do something.
And I think that's a big lesson South Africa have to learn, right? Just find a real problem. I mean, we have spoken to some amazing problem solvers, and I think the hardest part is finding that problem. That problem that has a great impact, that problem that brings a return.
Yeah.
And once you've got that, it's speed. And we've just got to learn that as South Africans, now and just now don't fly.
No, and the maybe now.
You know what I did enjoy, and I mean, it was at the BCX Disrupt conference, it was Will I Am.
And
he was really cool.
That extra thinker, hey?
Yeah, he is. And he's kind of geekish, and he was sitting there kind of almost introverted, but he was just like, hey, man, I'm from the Bronx. I made it happen.
Yeah.
And you're sitting here in Africa, and you're looking at us as though we got your answers. Nope. Fuck you.
Yeah. Get it done.
Take control of your lives here. Make a difference in your own life and
make
stuff happen here.
It's Africa's turn, right?
Yeah. It is Africa's turn.
So guys, it's our year. Let's go out there and get these problems solved and scale them out and take them to market and make a change.
Totally.
And I think there's a lot of people going like, I need to go look for problems. But most of the time, the problem you need to solve is probably the one right in front of you.
Right in front of you. You've got to look at life differently. You're so right, Brett, because it is happening, and everybody, we all have different circumstances. We're all going to see different problems. You see a problem, if it frustrates you or makes you passionate, ride off that.
Yeah.
That is your inspiration to get going.
Yeah.
I hear way too many excuses so often. Not enough money, not enough resources. Oh, I'm not a developer. Oh, I'm not a this. Oh, I can't do that.
Oh, there's too much information.
I can't risk without a salary. If you are passionate about it, go validate it. You don't have to quit your job.
Yeah.
Get out there.
Yeah.
Be brave and ask your customer.
Yeah.
100%. Ask them. as soon as you ask them, and don't say, don't you think that's a great idea? Because everyone's going to go, yeah, it's a lovely idea. Be very critical, because you're going to lose probably everything if you don't get that right.
Validate those assumptions.
Validate get them it, done. Man. It's I can't important. Stress it more.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I was asked to do a talk at the Audiologist South Africa conference yesterday by Savantos, actually held it.
And I've never heard of that organization.
I'd never, well, funny that, eh? They can help you with that, actually. But
can we bleep that part out?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, got it. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. They got it too, I'm sure.
Yeah. They got it too.
But we got there, and I was wondering to myself, what am I doing here, actually? Like, and then they started the theme of the talk, and it was about how do we change and embrace the future, and how do we make use of new ways of reaching our customers. And I was like, this is why I'm here.
Yeah.
And it's just so great to see that, you know, medical areas are embracing a change.
Yeah.
And they know that maybe we haven't changed yet, but we know that if we prepare ourselves, we can start to change and we can improve on it.
Absolutely.
And it's really, really cool. It was quite inspiring to actually sit there. I was inspired by the fact that that was even happening, not the fact that I was there trying to inspire them.
Mm.
And the fact that that's it. I mean, the people that make hearing aids and do hearing tests and help people as audiologists are doing an amazing thing. What other areas of industry in South Africa do you think coming next?
I look at the water crisis. So we're in a constant state of crisis, which is perfect opportunity for amazing problems and amazing innovation.
Yeah.
It's not comfortable, right? But often to encourage change, you've got to be uncomfortable. I remember in Google days, we used to talk about, let's get ourselves excitedly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
As soon as you get comfortable, you're going to get lazy, you're going to get slack, you're going to drop the ball, you're not going to be focused on the problem, it's going to be a 9-to-5 job. We have one life, man.
Absolutely, live it. But you know, it's interesting, the water issue, I mean, it's a political issue, and it's because they've really screwed it up.
Mm.
And you know what? Change is coming. And the question then becomes is, how relevant are these politicians going to be? Because everyone around the world is pretty angry with the politicians at the moment. I mean, they've just done nothing but abuse their position. So it'll be interesting, because I mean, I look
the idea
at
of serving the people, so it seems to be a secondary thing.
But you know what? But it's a very real consideration, because if we sit here and we say, what have these politicians truly done that has actually added value to the quality of our lives, and certainly
across the world, right?
Well, if we
it's
just
across
start,
the world, you can pick in any country. You can
you certainly can. But you know, you suddenly look at the opportunities with the blockchains and all of these different types of technologies. The question is, you guys are making yourselves redundant, because come 2019, I don't think I'm going to vote. And don't tell me it's my democratic right to go and vote. It's also my democratic right to not go and vote if I choose to. Because I don't trust any of these buggers anymore, because they're just not adding value. But there again, to your point, Brett, how many solutions are going to come out of this? It's going to be interesting to see. And if you folks think I'm talking horse shit, wait.
Well, the horse shit is coming.
Wait. Brett, we're just waiting.
You are waiting.
Okay, so phone lines start lighting up.
Jeez, what are all those lights next to you?
Is that this whole time? I didn't know that. I thought it was just a Christmas tree they forgot to take.
There we go. They've been playing with us.
The thing is, there's going to be radical change in huge areas of the way we live. And there's going to be subtle changes as well. Some things that just creep through. I mean, there's stuff that didn't exist in 2006 that we have today, and there's new changes. The way mobile video is just becoming more rampant in social media. Mobile video is now changing the way social media works.
Yeah.
The thing that disrupted is now being disrupted. Well, not disrupted, but they've had to change in order to accommodate the new style of communication, which is talking.
Yeah.
So we've got these ways, things that were original disruptors or original big change agents for the way we operate as humanity, are they themselves leading to more change?
So we never run out of problems, right?
No, or opportunities, I like to call them. Challenges. Because there's always something to solve. And whether it's your direct problem or somebody else's direct problem.
No, absolutely. So the disrupted will become the disruptors.
True. And long may that continue.
Just be getting a bit philosophical.
I was about to say, no questions with that. No. That was a great piece of philosophy.
No, I liked it.
I think it was fantastic. It's good to have you back.
No, thanks. I'm back. I'm never going to ask a question ever again. Saying that,
fantastic,
though.
Fantastic,
other industries have changed. I mean, political, government, banking. Yeah. We've spoken about this throughout the podcast. And again, if you've missed any of these shows, they're all still available on the Futurology page on Cliff Central, which will still be up, even though we're not doing live shows, and a couple of the repeat shows will probably still be aired at this time slot. This is our last live show for now. And Yeah, there's tons of stuff. We've spoken about mobility. We've spoken about connectivity. We've spoken about neuroscientists.
What's been your most favorite show?
Of all?
Of all.
It really is hard to pick.
I know it's very hard to pick. Yeah.
I really enjoyed the chat we had around blockchain.
With Monica.
Monica Singer.
Yeah, she's cool.
Where's she now?
I think it was...
She's down in Cape Town. She's working for Consensus.
Okay.
And they're part of the blockchain consortium.
They're part of the Ethereum. They're part of Ethereum.
Cool.
She's left straight. But you know what? Again, what you got to respect and admire about Monica is she's done it.
Yeah, but she's on to IOTA now instead of the blockchain, which equally Absolutely. As good as a regulation engine. Yeah. But... The reason why I liked that one, it was the one episode where I literally was dumbfounded with just what was happening. It was like, wow, this wow. And you start realizing the area of change that is coming and what the impacts actually are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of people will be like, the surface level blockchain, yeah, okay, cool. Bitcoin comes first and then nobody really knows that much about blockchain. Absolutely. But you start seeing the use cases.
And you know what? That show was really well supported by what... Simon Dingle was telling us at the UX conference. I mean, that was also an interesting.
Yeah, he's also fantastic, right?
Yeah, he is.
And he's taken a bold move as well.
Yeah, he knows his stuff. Into the game. You know,
doing Luno and all this. Yeah,
yeah, he does it. What's been your favorite show, Fat Boy?
It's the mind blowingness of it has definitely been the security one.
Singularity.
From Singularity. What was the lady's name?
Jaya Baloo. The bro fisting.
The bro fisting. So, reason why I loved
it. That was just a byproduct of it, but
exactly.
It was great.
The quantum computing theories being applied against security broke me. It suddenly made me realize that the knock-on effect of these trends isn't on another one or two kind of technology spaces, but, you know, just because you can compute faster, it impacts your networks of communication. Mm. It impacts your security layers. It impacts how we protect information. It impacts how we store information. It impacts, I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So the more disruption we have rolling through, it's just accelerating at such a pace.
Mm.
And the fact that we've got such a great mind working on these problems,
yeah.
but at the same time is able to have such a blast. I mean, the bro-fisting
was
just
great.
Fantastic. I mean, she's super cool. I'm like, I would work for you.
Cray-mazing.
Cray-mazing.
Crazy, amazing people. The Cray-mazing people. But very cool. She is good. Again, that was part of the Singularity chat, so go back and listen to the interview we did with Jaya Baloo. It was incredible, and she is still doing amazing stuff. I mean, when I was in Amsterdam, I was hoping to meet up with her, but she was asked to go to The Hague and just go tell everybody about security and what is
like. As one does,
right? She's going to pop in quickly and just, like, drop some knowledge bombs, and I'll be out. And, I mean, she literally does. Like, a lot of people are amazed by her at the beginning. Then they're terrified by what she's saying.
Yes,
then they can't really understand what she says thereafter, and then she cracks a joke, and everybody's like, this... What was funny laughter at the beginning is now nervous laughter at the end because you're like, shit,
we're in trouble.
Yeah. And the one comment that we said to her was like, I don't think you were at the bank at that time. I think you were in transition, I think, at that point. But it was like, we aren't representing any banks or anything that has mass consumer trust and protection and security requirements. And like, we were scared.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine being the guys like the CIOs of the banks now, and they're like,
now what?
Cool. Yeah.
I mean,
the
leaps that you have to do to catch up.
There is some truth to the Russian allegations around the American elections. I'm exactly the details. I don't know, but
I'm sure
this whole security and this whole
and the manipulation, right? The manipulation of data and the manipulation of news. The manipulation, and I think the underlying is the manipulation of trust.
No, the manipulation of you.
Of you. Oh, my God, Mike. Hashtag what Mike said.
Because, I mean, the rest is,
Have you heard of these, the new sayings coming out? They're new to me. The mecosystems and the space of you and all these things. So instead of it being an ecosystem, it's the mecosystem.
Oh, yeah, meco.
So
the
stuff that revolves around me. When the world does revolve around me, what does it look like? Where are my touch points of engagement? How secure are you?
Woolworths and taking money off me. Sorry, what? Okay, carry on.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so easy to get involved in these things as well. I mean, we're this instant gratification society, wanting what we want when we want it, and happy to pay for the most part for a lot of it.
Yeah.
Microtransactions have been an amazing thing to look at, and we've looked at e-commerce, and we've looked at how that's working. Mm. We've looked at design thinking change, the rapid testing and changing.
Yeah.
Creating moments to suit digital. What's it, the physical reboot? That was a good episode.
That was a very interesting episode.
And, actually, I mean, yeah, talking to Brett Loebscher about the Sapiens.
Sapiens was
awesome,
great.
I mean, that's a great book. If you haven't read that, that's a good piece of literature to look into.
And Homo Deus off the back of that.
Homo Deus by Yuval Noah Harari.
Well done. Right? Okay.
Yuval
Noah
Harari, yeah.
I'm going to take a stab at Mike's favorite one. Steve Keen.
Has to be.
He was phenomenal. I've never seen you that excited. And when I mean excited, wet.
No, I was. I mean, you know, and I think...
Thank goodness it was a Skype call, right?
Yeah.
For him.
He was sliding off his chair.
Yeah, he was based in the UK, an Australian economist. But I think what was interesting about what Steve was talking about was looking at the world in a very, very different way. There were layers to it. I mean, I studied economics at school, and I've always been quite at varsity as well. Sorry, whatever.
Nursery school. Mike's a genius, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
True story. We knew it. Just in hiding.
To have the opportunity to speak to someone like Steve was just absolutely amazing. But also, more importantly, the impact of the change. You know, we keep talking about how technology has been redefined, and we're planning our lives in a very linear kind of thought process because yesterday happened like this, we must plan for tomorrow like this. Mm. And the reality is you can't think like that anymore. You know, I mean, it's still now, isn't it?
Mm.
Just checking the time.
It is now.
It's still now. It's still now. Just now. But I found that absolutely fascinating because, you know, that's real change. That's disruptive change at a level and a scale that we cannot even begin to imagine.
You know? I want to just take that, it's still now. Can we not make that the new South Africanism? The now, the just nows, it's bad for us. It's still now.
It's still now.
Is good for us.
As long as the now that someone's contextually talking about is then.
Whew. There goes the philosophy. Yeah, again,
no, but I hate time loops because time loops suck. Because everybody wants to try and justify everything based on time.
Time loops don't exist.
But if you base everything on activity,
then it's just a memory, bro. No.
I buy into the yes, the now. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just saying.
The idea is hashtag not what
Prince said. Because we can keep talking. We can keep talking now.
Yeah.
We can keep talking now, and you can keep talking now, and then. Now you'll still keep talking.
But start
doing something in the now. So it's what do you do in the now? Absolutely. How do you make the most of the now?
How do you use it?
What do you do with the now? Because
you've got a choice. It's very simple. You're either going to go up or down.
There's choice and change. I believe that there's two things that don't stop. There's choice. We will always have a choice. And there's always going to be change.
Yeah.
How we adopt the change is a choice.
Change is your time loop. That's the problem.
But change requires time.
No, but there is no time because it's just now. Sorry, I'm kidding.
I know.
See, this is why I hate time loops.
I feel like this is not futurology. But this is the lology.
There are two things.
Nowology.
So if I just want to carry on the choice and change, seeing as you want to talk about loop, but choice and change. So if you choose to change, change will happen. If you choose not to change, change is going to happen around you, which will lead to change anyway.
The choice you have
in the now is what do you do, not what do you say, not what do you think. What do you do?
Yes, absolutely.
And to quote Mahatma Gandhi, when what you say, what you think, and what you say and what you do are in alignment, you can find happiness.
And that's called integrity.
Lovely.
Happiness.
Awesome. Cool.
Happiness. Yeah, absolutely.
But
so, yeah.
Some more good shows that we had. I mean, we got to meet with Larry Keeley, talk about the 10 types of innovation, not to harp on singularity, but it was a wealth, a treasure trove of things.
Yeah,
those
guys were exceptional at singularity. They really were. But you know what? I tell you what show I really did enjoy from a South African perspective was Brett's Man Crush.
Dr. Craig Nozzle.
That's right. Mm. I mean, he was really interesting, and it was a very good conversation around what they're doing at Discovery. I really enjoyed that chat.
And I mean that is a force of a business. What they do and how they're doing
absolutely.
It. I mean, gamification of health.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
It's incredible.
And they've used tech not as a leading force but as an encouraging force, as an enablement tool.
Yeah.
Not as the main ultimate end.
Totally. Totally.
Does this mean I have to take his photo of my man wall?
Not at all.
Oh, thank God.
No, you can leave it there.
Sure. That was close.
Tell us about what we're doing and what's the future. Because when we're not on air live, you guys are starting with what's the future. So I think let's interview you for a little bit, and then we'll go into other things.
I don't know how to handle it. I haven't been a guest on a show for so long.
So
exactly.
What's the Future, WTF, we've spoken about it plenty times. Yeah. Again, throughout, if you see the evolution of where What's the Future started birthing from, it came from here, bits of the shows and who we met and stuff we've spoken about.
But yeah. I think, you know, and in fact, it almost goes back to the beginning of the shows that we did was with Karen around education. What's critical?
That was another great one. Karen.
Karen Wall Street, yeah.
What's critical is around knowledge, and it's really the ability to learn, relearn, and kind of unlearn and relearn.
Yeah.
And what I think is really important is you don't need a full degree to solve your immediate problem. Is you need to understand what you're dealing with and how you educate yourself.
In
this constant learning cycle. And I think also as Africans, we've got to solve African problems in an African way. And I think, you know, it creates an incredibly great opportunity to kind of redefine how we learn and how do we apply the skills that we're learning and learn from the environments that we're operating in. So how do we solve our problems? How do we upskill ourselves to redefine our societies? And you know, it's quite an aspirational idea, I think, behind WTF and what we're doing. And I mean, we've had some mistakes that have turned into great opportunities. I mean, we suddenly created the Think Digital course out of a request that got put out onto social media and exploded.
Crowdsourced collaboration and creativity.
Absolutely.
Content and validation.
Absolutely.
And we had over 250,000 engagements and views and you name it. We totaled it up and we were blown away by what South Africa's looking for.
I mean,
that was amazing. There was a lot of stuff during that process that we realized we got wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and we think that we know what we're doing. Guys, no one knows what they're doing. If you start on that precipice, you don't know what you're doing no matter how much you know. Mm. Just go check with your customer. Your customer knows what they want.
Do you think a lot of fear of change is coming from this idea that perhaps I'm alone in the change that I'm facing?
Mm.
A lot of guys are saying, well, I don't know what to do. And they're like, well, what do we do? I'm like, well, what are other people doing?
No, I think it comes from the insecurity of change. Because, you know, we're faced with...
Is that through a lack of knowledge or...?
No, I think it's just everything is changing so fast. Mm. And as we change and adapt, things are changing and adapting around us. You know, certainly when... I was chatting to my father the other day and he said, you know, he goes into his old office and he doesn't even understand what these guys do anymore. You know, the technology's redefined the business. It's still the same business, but he looks and he says, I don't understand how you guys do what you do now.
Mm.
But he used to be a master at what they did.
Mm.
You know, and it's suddenly how do we redesign and reinvent? And it's our ability to be adaptive to this process.
Agile, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a confidence thing.
I think the knowledge is ever changing.
That's the trick as
well.
So how
do
we keep up with it?
Because our institutions are slow to keep up with it. Even when I'm looking at MOOCs these days, I love MOOCs. And I go into all of them and I'm that guy who buys 95% off. Woohoo! I'm buying it. And I get halfway through it and I realize this is out of date. I'm not getting the value that I want. And when I say out of date, it's been there for maybe a year. Probably took a year to curate the content.
Mm.
It's 2 years out of date.
Just tell everybody MOOCs as well. So online courses.
Yeah, massive online
education.
Why is it there two O's on it?
Mobile?
I don't know.
But MOOCs. But it's an MOOCs. Online course, and you can go check it out at it's MOOCs.
Well, there's lots. There's
maybe it's massive open online course.
Online course. That's exactly what it is.
The great thing about it is that there is access to the education that we all need to try and help dispel some of the fear that we have
Coursera,
around knowing.
Coursera.
Absolutely.
They're out there. Google MOOC.
Oh, and there's local guys now. The guys who...
Get smarter. Get smarter. Yeah.
I mean, fantastic.
Yeah.
And they all get different angles. And they're all doing amazing stuff. And part of me is still feeling... We're just moving so fast.
Yeah, what you do today is useless tomorrow.
So how do we keep up with that knowledge?
But there's also a change in this process because, and I'm sure it was on the Daily Maverick, and I can't remember which person wrote it. It was around the Tim Noakes trial.
Mm.
And it's a really interesting understanding of what's going on here. If you look at Tim Noakes, he's now advocating this Banting approach. And when we look at the state of education and knowledge around health from a university perspective, from this almost absolute arrogance of professorship. You know, that what they said was absolute. Mm. Yet when we look at it now, what they said was by and large a load of horseshit. Yeah. You know, suddenly, yeah. You know, what's
trust
needed,
on it,
yeah,
right.
what required a massive surgery, and the examples in the article, and I can't remember the details, but what required massive surgery was simply bacteria reacting, and when they actually worked that out, you know, they were able to treat that through simple pills. But you know, the professors at the time were like, "You need to cut it out. This is not an option."
Yeah.
And it's the same principle around just our eating. And you think around this as a knowledge base. There's a very narrowly defined Western thought process around education.
Yeah. So I mean, that's an awesome thought and case study to move forward with. But how much more knowledge that we have in various different sectors of business are going to be fundamentally changed by things like machine learning, artificial intelligence, just long trends that we now have. So like actual evidence that we've started collecting since we started collecting that are maybe going to disprove some what we thought were big fundamental ways of thinking to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we look at knowledge, it's really defined by consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the more aware you are and the more conscious you are about the implicit principle in it. Hang on.
Okay.
You're able to look at things in a different way. And I mean, this is why I really like the saying, kind of one step up, three steps sideways. So you can actually look at something from a very, very different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was Einstein who said, you know, in order to change something, you cannot solve it with the consciousness that created it. And you've got to look at things with a broader, deeper consciousness, and you'll get closer to the truth.
Okay.
Because remember, the truth is a pyramid. You know, there's a lot of bullshit at the bottom, but there's only one truth ultimately.
Yeah.
And it's an objective principle as opposed to the subjective.
Magnified
principle.
By fake news.
Exactly. No, but exactly.
Well, exacerbated by it as well.
This is exactly the point, because you look at the fake news. There's a tremendous amount at the bottom of the pile here, and it's churning up to get to the truth. Is harder and harder and harder.
When you say consciousness, it's being consciously aware that the knowledge is moving so fast.
No.
Is that what you mean?
No, it's a state of your consciousness looking at the actual problem itself.
Meaning?
You know, consciousness.
So I'm asking this question. I just want to get my head around it,
no,
right?
Beauty is
an
eye-beholder type vibe.
But that's a subjective principle.
Yeah.
And
my consciousness is mine, not yours.
Yes, but consciousness talks to consciousness.
I think that's what you're...
That's
saying.
Where I'm kind of understanding it. But so consciousness speaks to consciousness. I don't know.
Well, let's not go down that angle. But yeah. I think just really, in terms of the beauty in the eye of the beholder, is that the deeper we are about the principles behind beauty. I mean, it was Plato who said that which is good is beautiful and that which is beautiful is good, which means the more refined the ethical framework, the deeper the beauty and the principle. If you're operating from a very unethical perspective, you're not going to see much beauty, and I'm getting way off track.
No, but it's good. It's dumb. I like the philosophical stuff. It's fantastic.
I was sitting here. My mind is slightly breaking and crumbling.
So it's a question of actually raising your consciousness and really raising yourself above the problem to see it in a clearer, bigger picture and understand the deeper permutations of what's actually going on. So it's almost raising your consciousness.
So... Yeah. Part of one of the talks that I did.
And sorry, Brett, the only way you're going to get that is by asking and answering questions.
Exactly.
Why?
And conversation.
Absolutely.
So.
And it's why the question is more important than the answer.
There's this idea of the value of information over time, and as it's has value, has the information become more valuable or less valuable over time? And one of the things I talk about in one of the talks is the scribes way back when the original philosophers were the only philosophers. There's no digital philosophers or any others. They were scribes that had to transcribe or copy the texts from ancient manuscripts or parchment or scrolls and animal hides. And it was a generational calling. So if I was a scribe, then my father was, my grandfather may have been his father before him.
Yes.
So we were then looking after this information, and we had to take it. So because it's a deteriorating medium. The reason why we're looking at DNA storage today is something that can last longer than the stuff we put it on.
Yes.
But back then, that was how information was done. So the task was quite a laborious one and was quite a meticulous process. So there was a lot of value and time put into it. Therefore, information was hugely valuable.
Mm.
It also wasn't available to a lot of people. So the people that had information, the old adage, knowledge is power. But what would happen is wealthy people started to have information. They would have access to this information. So they would be patrons to scholars and scribes and say, well, you study it. And eventually those people would go into town squares and they'd be able to come up with philosophies, come up with ideologies. So consciousness was in the one space of the people that had access to information, the information that was available. And they would move into space and be able to start talking about it to give maybe some relevant context to people in the in society and the world.
Yes, but that knowledge wasn't necessarily the truth.
No, but they wouldn't know that. So, yeah, again, the consciousness is, this is the information we have access to. This is what we've done with it. This is how we share it. These are the ideas and ideologies that are coming off the back of it. Fast forward, Crusades and Renaissance and all the things and the printing press.
Google.
Yeah, and the printing press comes along.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now we can share rapidly ideas. Some maybe not as verified as possible, but there's this rapid share.
Era of Marx, right?
But that's the thing. But as people became more and more informed, perhaps the inverse was the value of that information became less because it was so readily accessible, so readily available, we place less value. Today, the time between not knowing something and knowing something is so short that we just Google something, that we have placed very little value on information. We actually take it for granted. So what's happening now is that people are too soon, they'll go and say, well, let's Google something.
Yeah.
And the first 3 points of information that pop up become the gospel truth to that person in that instant.
Absolutely.
And now that becomes a framed source of conversation that we start to have.
Google becomes the new God.
But so one thing that I like about the digital
transformation. Sorry, Brett.
Well, it becomes the new gospel. It becomes the new way of thinking and talking and learning.
Don't be evil, Mike.
But as much as there's a lot of good, there's also a lot of unverified bad out there.
No,
but
totally.
One thing around digital transformation that I'm really hoping is going to start to happen is that experts in specific fields in the digital spaces are going to start being the voice of truth. In these spaces, because we can't just leave it to go rampant. It can't just be fake news all over the place. The bottom of the triangle can't just be bullshit all the time.
Yeah,
we need actual experts in specific fields to come forward and say, do you know what? Here's the information. You can trust this information. This is us.
I'd like to
see them do it, because I think they're the guys that are coming to the party last.
I think there are 2 points to that. I think you're arguing for the professor who's absolutely dogmatic in his point of view, which is dangerous, because to argue that this is the absolute truth.
What's in the best interest of people,
Well, it depends on your perspective on what's in the best interest of people, because you asked the old apartheid government, they would have had a very different conversation to the new government. So really, what's in the best interest of the people is a very subjective perception.
We said that the guys back in philosopher days, so they could only argue or come up with truths that they had information to access to information. Same today. I mean, if the speed at which everything's evolving, we're having better access to more information.
I see where you're going. Yeah.
The doctors back then didn't have any counter information to tell us, but now we've gone through this massive transformation, this massive information download.
Yeah,
now I'm as informed as a philosopher, as a professor was 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. You're looking at the world empirically.
Yes.
From that perspective, absolutely. But this truth is still subjective.
No, completely. But it's also what you expose yourself to.
What you now do with that information.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the speed that you react to that information.
If you're going to read Mad magazines for your entire life, you can't be a genius on much.
You know what? There is a lot of...
Unless the question is about Mad magazine.
You know what? There is a lot of wisdom.
I wish they came back.
There's a lot of wisdom in Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes. Oh, no. But he's one... he's a fantastic, fantastic philosopher.
Yeah, he is. He's a rock star.
Are you guys basically telling me and the audience right now? I feel like the audience.
Cool. Somebody has to advocate for them, yes.
That this year is really about raising your consciousness to have a perspective on the information that you currently have at hand.
Absolutely. Ask questions so that you can get better answers.
Challenge those information points, and once challenged, do.
Absolutely. 100%.
Exactly.
Could we not have just summed that up?
No, but
not
we needed
go through this 20
we needed context. This was good context.
This was fun.
Plus, we found ourselves saying, "I'm at 24 minutes past the hour," and we figured we'd fill it up with some philosophy.
But you know what, Brett? Actually, just to add to that, I'm not too sure which Brett I'm actually talking to.
I'm sure we both need it.
But you know, this was the point. You know, we spoke about the Think Digital, and we validated the idea of the business. Really, how do you focus, solve, and scale your business? Which is really the second part of what we're looking at is how do we reframe it, because at the end of the day, how we see the world defines the world that we live in. You know, we've all got there 6 billion viewpoints of the world.
Rose-colored glasses or frameless glasses.
Absolutely, it's how you see the world, and what's important from that reframe course.
So we're still answering your question about what is WTF.
I never asked the question. question. I just set a context.
Yeah, there we go. So that's what the reframe is. How do you look at the challenge, and how do you create the habits and the ability to see the world?
Mm.
So these are the exciting
that's
things
a good
we're
point.
Getting into.
We have to change habit, right?
We have to change our
habits.
Because
habit. How we work at work every day is a habit we have established.
Absolutely.
Through schooling, through university.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Through learning how to do your work. And now...
It's all changed. Requiring a different set of skills.
So that's what WTF is doing, is inspiring people to think digitally so that they can do digital.
Correct.
And it's the new ways of working come from starting with thinking the certain way, so that it's not terrifying anymore.
Exactly.
Because it's the way we're thinking.
Totally.
On the other side of it, so I'm starting the Human Impact Project.
Yes, tell us about
it. And off the back of that, I mean, it's audaciously, if I have to frame it that, audaciously, it's basically challenging Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Yes, it's been around for a long time, but a lot has changed since we've had that. Yes, there's self-esteem and self-actualization at the top, and there's all the security and all the stuff at the bottom. But if you break it down to a simpler way of thinking in today's age, I want to challenge, how do we live, how do we love, how do we learn, and how do we earn in this new way of living, in this new way of engaging, in this new way of communicating?
Love it.
Because you don't need to have a job. In order to be able to learn these days.
No,
you don't have to be able to learn in order to know how to learn.
It won't be a job, so you're going to only be able to learn.
But the thing is, you might be a learner, but you might be a philosopher. And there's value in this too.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the impact is not bottom line money. I think a lot of value is based on the impact we have.
No, so, absolutely. And you know what? It's a very important point you make there, Brett. I mean, you know, one of my family members got cancer, and suddenly we got together as a family.
Mm.
The impact of us being together, the emotional connection,
it didn't matter what position you had in the company.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the power of that human connection.
And
absolutely.
That's it. So, I mean, the human impact side of it is looking at how technology has impacted humans, but counter is how do humans actually impact technology? Because it's not this great almighty force of technology out there that's just descending upon humanity. Humanity is using technology as a tool to help enable things we want to do as humans. So the impact is not one way. And I think a lot of people out there in their thinking of digital or thinking of technology think that they're the victim in a digital transformation.
Totally. You're quite right.
This victim idea, it's like, oh, wow, why is this horrible digital transformation happening?
It's a choice you make.
And it's changing whether you like it or not.
No, absolutely.
So that's what I'm getting into. And I'm really hoping that at some point, I know at some point the WTF and the Human Impact Project are going to come together.
Exactly.
And we're going to have plenty to talk about. And there's plenty of discussion still to happen. And I think it's really important. The questions we ask, we don't necessarily need all the answers. One person doesn't need all the answers. But the conversations we have with many people can help us find a better truth.
Absolutely.
Does that
help? It does. And I think it brings us back to futurology here.
Yeah.
Because we're really stepping back here and looking at these different angles and where do we go to from here. So pause futurology.
Yeah.
Reassess and going to phase
it's almost
two.
A chicken and egg situation. A couple of years from now, everybody's going to look back and be like, "Oh, was it the WTF and the thing? And then how did it work? And then it started because of a conversation. Because we had a conversation.
You know what I'm picking up from all of this is, if you had spoken to us a year ago, we were fascinated about the technology and the impact of the technology. Fast forward, as we've taken a lot of learnings. The technology is secondary.
Yes.
It's rather the impact on humans, the impact on experiences, the impact on information, data, consuming it, solving it, all those different things. And then we apply the technology. And I think so many people go, I want to do blockchain. Let me find a reason to do it. Or I want to go digital. I'm going to build an app. Let me find a reason to build an app.
Totally.
So let's take a lesson from that, guys. Yeah, when you're sitting out there and you're sitting in the boardroom, or you're sitting in some steerco, manco, whatever, or you're about to start your own business, don't rush to the solution. Don't think about the technology. If you're scared to go digital, you know what? Digital is not about digital. It's not about the tech.
Absolutely.
It's about doing things crazy quickly. And I think that's the big evolution we've taken on the Futurology show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting. I had a conversation over Christmas. I mean, one of my nephews came and said, "Oh, I've got this great idea." I said, "Oh, well, tell us." "No, I can't tell you. You've got to sign the NDA." I was like, "Fuck off, man. You think I'm really going to take your idea?" Eventually, he told me, and I just started laughing. I said, "Look, it's a great idea, but you've got this, and this problem. You know, you solve that, you've got an idea, but you need to understand you're not building an application here. You need to design the business model first."
Yeah.
And it's exactly
so
that.
Did you say this was your nephew?
Yeah.
And he was, what, six?
No.
Sorry, I've got a six-year-old in mind.
No.
Where's your NDA? What? I'd be impressed you wanted an NDA.
He was drunk in the pub one night and came up with
at age day. Six.
Yeah, he was.
The only reason why NDAs exist is because everybody thinks they've got the greatest idea and they all believe that everybody else is.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, business has become unethical.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe that the best idea kept secret is the stupidest idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
exactly.
It's not about what you think, it's about what you do.
And how you
can't
do it.
Get it out there. Absolutely. And you know how hard it is to get out there. It's easier to have the idea. Get it out there, make it work, tweak, iterate, survive.
Yeah.
Ideas.
NDA should stand for never do again.
Oh, boom.
It's so like, what's the point? Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah. So.
No damn argument from me there.
Yeah, good. That's awesome.
No damn argument from me there.
NDA.
No damn argument.
I know. Yeah. But I don't get the from me there. That doesn't tie into NDA.
You know what? I'm starting to get emotional. I think I'm going to wrap up now.
Are you putting your shirt back on?
I am. I'm actually quite sad. I mean, it's actually been so much fun sitting in studio.
Well, look, there's going to be great. There's big milestones that happen every year that are worth talking about. So hopefully we get together on the WTF podcast and we'll talk about Mary Meeker's internet trends again because that was always fun.
I love that.
You missed it last year. We spoke about that as well.
You just got blind drunk in those podcasts, man.
I think you kind of had to. The truth was sobering enough. We had to offset it with something.
I don't know if you guys. Listen to those podcast series, but the words were very clear and they degenerated very quickly.
That's because Justin was wearing
his pink pullover.
but
I mean, to all the guests again, we kind of said this last year, but to all the guests that we've had on the show this year throughout the whole of 2017, thank you so much for your time and your energy and your enthusiasm to just partake in a great conversation.
Rock stars,
absolutely,
and for all the moments we got to meet and enjoy that extended time with you. At events and all these things. We look forward to doing more of it this year.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody supports Think Digital. It's a fantastic thing.
Thanks, guys.
I think it's going to be a great idea. But how do we get hold of the Futurology Show at handle on Twitter? It's going to stay. So at Futurology Show, it's still there. You can still tweet us. We'll still all be kind of active on that sharing some ideas and thoughts and opinions. Mike, you're on Twitter.
I am Michael _Cowan, Cowen, not A-N-E-N.
Okay.
Brett _St. Clair, STCLAIR.
Cool. And I'm at Big Brave Brett. So you can find us all on Twitter. And
No. He's the big one, not me.
Yeah. I stole that one first. Sorry. Big Brave Brett. And you can find us all. We're all going to be doing amazing stuff. It's been fantastic, as I said. And thanks to Cliff Central for the opportunity to distribute this.
Absolutely.
You're still going to be able to hear us every week until they change the roster. All the podcasts are available on Cliff Central. And. Thanks for listening. It's been real, real fun.
Over and out.
Over and out. Thank you, guys.
Cool. Cheers. Now I've just got to figure out the desk for the last time ever. And we'll do... Any requests, guys? Perfect 10?
Are we still recording here?
We are still recording, but we're going into things. So if you're listening to this in the podcast, we're playing The Beautiful South, Perfect 10. This is the Futurology Show. Till next time. Cheers.
Till next time. Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.